This is Greg Olson, and I'm thrilled to introduce my new podcast, TE1. TE1 will chronicle a 60-year evolution of the tight end position, from its origins as an obscure, overlooked blocking role to the versatile superstar position that it is today. I'll explore the evolution of the position through conversations with some of the all-time game-changing tight ends. And just like the incredible tight ends we sit down with on my new show, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. This truck is all about grit, strength, and dependability. The same attributes it takes to be a tight end.
Rotoviz family, welcome back to the On the Daily DFS podcast. You can find us on Twitter at On the Daily DFS. You can find me, Salito, at Salito FF, and my co-host Matt Jones at Matt Jones TFR, and TJ Calkins simply at TJ Calkins. And guys, it's here. I know that we did not believe it a few short months ago that we would be doing a show like this based around a full NFL weekend, but week one of the NFL season is here. It's going to go off, hopefully without a hitch. I'm pumped up, guys. How about you?
Yeah, I'm fired up. We're school started, football starting. It almost feels like real life again. So it's pretty nice.
TJ, how's it going at work for you? This should be.
Man, I don't know what free time is anymore, but I'm still doing good, and I am just so pumped. I'm ready for tomorrow night, man. I'm just going to take it in. Just there's very few days of the year where I can just stop and breathe and just smell the roses, and tomorrow night that'll begin. So I'm ready for it, man.
Awesome. Well, we're going to bring you game by game the main slate, so we won't get too much into the Thursday night game, but we are going to take you through every game this Sunday, 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and help you put some money in your pocket. So let's kick it off with one of the games I think is going to be one of the highest scoring ones on the slate. It's got an over 49, over under 49 in this game, and that is the Seahawks versus the Falcons in Atlanta. Guys, talk to me about the Seahawks offense. Russell Wilson, Chris Carson. Do we see a little bit of Carlos Hyde? Which one of these wide receivers do we like? And do we even care that Greg Olsen still plays? Maddie, let's start with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's the age-old question, right? Like, are we going with Lockett or are we going with Metcalf? I think every week you're probably going to see more ownership on whoever's less expensive. And I think that's probably true this week. I think Metcalf could push, you know, close to, like, definitely over 15%. So yeah, it's just a matter of whether you want to do that. The game environment is going to be good. Two point spread is always nice to see with a high total. You can kind of pick, mix and match for some GPPs. I don't know that I'm necessarily going with either of those guys personally in cash. But TJ, do you have a preference for your tournament builds?
Yeah, I do, You know, I don't take much on ownership projections in week one. I find we're always shocked. And I think the nature of each player is one you're going to gravitate to throughout the season, and that's Lockett. DK will never bring the weekly floor that Lockett brings, I don't believe. But I also don't believe Lockett's going to bring the weekly ceiling that DK brings. And, I mean, DK is a slate-breaking player. And, my God, that rookie year, it's only going to grow. So there are phenomenal wide receiver options on this slate, and I will use some DK, but he isn't going to be like a huge piece of my builds here. What about you, Sal?
Yeah, listen, I agree with the floor on Lockett. I think he's the more safe play of the two guys. DK keeps you alert all the time with the big playability. So if I'm going to be playing cash games, which I'm more apt to play and want to make sure that I'm going to hit my numbers, I'll be leaning Lockett out of those two guys. Let me ask you guys about the running back situation. We know that in the past, it's been a lot of names in that backfield. Rashad Penny's not there this year. Carlos Hyde is there. I'm hearing that Chris Carson is not going to get a lot of touches early on. It's going to be a mix. You steer away from that guy. You steer away from his backfield in general because of what the coach normally does.
Well, I'll field that one, and I'm happy to. There are three coaches in the league that I absolutely loathe. I think they're overrated. I think they shouldn't have jobs. Coincidentally, two of them are matched up in this game. Pete Carroll is such a damn joke. So Schottenheimer just does his bidding. You know, he's just a guy. He's just there. He's just okay upon the rock. There is no guy there with game-changing ability. Carson is not that guy. Hyde is obviously not that guy. But I do think they're going to chop it up, like Sal said. And they just are not a team that builds some insurmountable lead. If you look back at last year, I believe they had one win of their 11 that was more than one score. So it isn't something where I just want to pound a running back here and say, well, Atlanta's defense is really just going to break, which I think they will throughout the course of the year. But going back to the coaching thing, these are two guys that I am just always confident are going to find a way to let me down. So I'm going to be underweight on this game in summation. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I mean, and Carson is not necessarily always present in the passing game either, right? He started off last year with that like 6 or 7 target game, and we thought that was like, you know, maybe going to be a thing. And, you know, he'll get his 4 targets every so often, but for the most part, you know, he's living in that 1 to 2 target range, which is not necessarily what I'm looking for when paying $6,200 for a running back on DraftKings.com. The other backfield in this game is a little bit interesting to me moving forward. I'm very curious to see what the split ends up looking like between Gurley and allegedly Hill is the next man up. So I'm very curious to see how that evolves over the year. I'm not playing either of them this week, but something to take note of if they really do want to mix in Hill and his price stays low, he might be a week two play for a little flyer there. But yeah, that's pretty much all I'm doing in this game.
Yeah, A note to make. I don't believe that Ito Smith is not going to touch the ball in this game. I don't believe it. So even if he's a number three, I think there's going to be a third guy involved.
Yeah, and I was just going to add that I don't think this is the week to play Todd Gurley either. But I think early in the season, you're going to find spots where you can get him in there. Because I do think Gurley's going to get a lot of touches early. And it's going to see what's going to happen with him. It's a one-year contract, and I think that you will have other spots to pick this year. But let's go over to the passing game because we know that that's the bread and butter of this team, led by Matt Ryan. Listen, you could pass on the Seahawks defense, and I assume the Seahawks are going to probably try to slow it down and hold Russ from cooking until the fourth quarter, as they typically do. But Atlanta will be trying to attack through the air, and I think we know the usual suspects in Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, but we have a very interesting new tight end in Hayden Hurst, the former first rounder that came over from Baltimore. And interestingly enough, I did look at some projections. He is projected to have high ownership this week. But would that, Matt, would that keep you from playing Hayden Hurst in a matchup where he just fits this system better than Hooper did last year? And we saw what a good season Hooper had.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody listened to this this show last year, they know how much I appreciated Mr. Austin Hooper. So, it seems like that's an exploitable matchup, and obviously Matt Ryan has no qualms going to the tight end. So I think that he's fine. I don't know that I'm going out of my way to throw him in, you know, like my single entry team, but maybe in a 3 max build, I might consider him.
All You're muted, Seth. You're muted, buddy. Oh, sorry. I'm out on Hurst. There's just too many better tight end plays this week. Not that he's a terrible play. He's just not an elite play by any means. Sorry, Seth.
Yeah. No, it's all good. That was my mistake. So of the two wide receivers in this game playing for Atlanta, are you on either one of these guys? TJ?
I'll play some Julio. I'm such a Ridley hater and doubter. I think Hayden Hurst just kind of fills in the Hooper role that does just enough to make Ridley not what at least his truthers believe he's going to be. Of course, there'll be some smash games, but I'm just not going to play Ridley this week. Julio's always fine. He has to be a part of a build. How about you,
all right, Kat, Matt? Well, it's all good, brother. We're going to move on to the Browns and the Ravens. And listen, I expect this game to be a high scoring game also, but maybe a little bit more lopsided. But what I like about this game is I do expect the Ravens to put up points, which would mean the Browns will be chasing. And we know that there's plenty of weapons in this Browns offense if they can produce. So it's an over 48.5 on the books. And let's start with the Browns, Matt. What do we think about this offense this year? It was something that was supposed to break out last year, but we know the coaching situation, all that has changed. Everybody's supposedly healthy. We got a newly signed Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt might lead the team in receptions this week in that passing game. What are you looking for out of this offense?
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for a lot of passes and trying to keep up with the Ravens onslaught that I'm planning on building. So, I don't mind running it back, you know, running that big stack back with any of the Cleveland guys. Honestly, I think, we have the quote unquote boots on the ground there with TJ. So maybe he could shed some light on the Brown situation. But I am very, very in on just going fully on Baltimore and, you know, picking whoever fits better between Landry and Beckham. I don't think there's a huge difference in, maybe Beckham has a higher ceiling, but we haven't seen that in a bit. So I think either of them are fine to run it back if you're stacking up Baltimore.
Well, TJ, before we do move on to the Ravens completely, what do you have for us for the Cleveland Browns, seeing that it is your home team?
I mean, that secondary is it's gutted. The safeties are a huge issue. And on the Ravens side, I mean, Andrews is the absolute play. You know, it really flies under the radar that he did what he did last season, playing 44% of snaps. You know, with Hurst gone now, he could absolutely take over the league and be the clear-cut tight end one, even if Kelce continues to do exactly what he does. So Andrews is going to be by far my biggest exposure on the Baltimore side.
Yeah, and I see that Hollywood Brown is very reasonably priced at only $5,100. In my opinion, that's a great bargain this week. We know how he blew up last year as a relatively unknown. He was our number one first-round draft pick, but still probably underused in that first week. But what do you think about the wide receivers?
It's Hollywood or nothing at all. And I think I'm going to play just a ridiculous amount of Andrews, absolutely. But in lineups where I don't, Hollywood's leverage there. So you can play him completely naked without Lamar. There's a quarterback I'm pretty dead set on this week that's a lot cheaper than Lamar. But if you're playing Lamar, Hollywood is good leverage on an Andrews fade. I just think Andrews is the elite play at tight end on this slate. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, no, just give me Brown and Andrews and Lamar. And just, you know, just sit back and watch the currently winning just continue to grow and grow throughout the afternoon.
Yeah, I can't even argue with the double stack there. It seems like the right play and to bring it back with, like you said, one of the targets on Cleveland, preferably one of the two wide receivers, even Hunt. I don't think Hooper is set for as big a year this year as he was, as much as you enjoyed him last year. Different offense, and I don't think it favors him here, so. If we got nothing else on this game, let's move on to the next one, which is...
Sorry, one more thing. You guys asked me on the comeback, and I kind of glossed over it and jumped right to Baltimore, and that's my bad. OBJ, I'm buying. He was hurt last year. I want him over Landry. They're the exact same price, $5,900. I'm playing way more OBJ than Landry.
Very good. Hold on. I'm just filling out my lineups that I can play against you guys. listen, the next game up is the Jets at the Bills. It's going to be probably one of the stinkers of the week. I'm not on really pretty much anybody in these game. It's an over-under 39.5. It's got all the makings of a 35 under. It's a typical Jets Bills AFC East, grinder. But let's touch on the teams quickly with the Jets. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, it's just a bad match completely with him and that coach. I'll be probably playing very little Le'Veon Bell throughout the year, unless it's just screaming in my face. But the only guy I find maybe interesting here because of the PPR value, because they're going to be losing in this game, is Jamison Crowder, because of the amount of targets he'll get with Sam Darnold and the possibility of building up those PPR points. Can you find a way to get a Jet in a lineup?
Yeah, I mean, like 5,200 for the targets for Crowder, I guess, is fine. Like I have a hard time clicking on him after that 9 target for 8 yards game last year. That was a little frustrating for me. But yeah, I think he's really like the only guy I would even be considering. And I'm not a big lineup guy, so I don't really see myself targeting this game that much.
Well, there is absolutely one player, or I technically player from this game, that I think is absolutely the best cash play and a hell of a tournament play, and that's the Jets defense at 2,100. Massive savings there. I believe it. If I recall, these two teams played each other opening week last year as well, and I believe the Jets D dropped about 20 in that game. And they're sitting at 2,100. They're going to be my highest zone defense without question. It's a punt with ceiling. Josh Allen obviously gives you ceiling for your defense every single week. And Crowder, he's a good play. He's not a great play, I think. So there are receivers I just want to pay up a little bit more for that I think are just better, even better floor than Crowder, better ceiling, everything all the way around.
Our buddy Sal Pal is currently in the chat. He was asking for his invite before, but he's asking, could Josh Allen lead this game in rushing yards? What's the over under on Josh Allen rushing yards for you guys?
I would say the over is probably 45. It's got to be close to 50 in this aspect, but I think that Frank Gore is going to lead this game in rushing.
Ooh, spicy.
Man, I'll take Zach Moss. But I do think that mid-40s number for all of these players, for the highest total, I think that's a good figure.
Yeah.
One thing to add for anybody interested in the Jets, all three wide receivers are practicing this week. The rookie, Rashad Perryman, and Jamison Crowder.
Fire him up.
Guys, you touched on Zach Moss. Devin Singletary is a boom or bust. That's just the way he is, so. Unless you're taking the long shots, and the Jets actually are good against the run. Wasn't one of the few things they did well last year. Are we taking any shots with Stephon Diggs in his new territory? Do we want to see that play out a little bit and see what the chemistry is like with him and Josh Allen?
I'm not.
pretty easy, guys. Let's move on to to my Las Vegas.
TJ and I both made the same face. We're like...
that game is kind of a dud. I don't expect a lot of people. That's the one that's going to win somebody something this week. Watch it. It's going to come out of that Jet Bills game.
Yeah, maybe the defense. I like that.
That was a great ad by TJ, the $2,100 New York Jets defense. My Las Vegas Raiders are playing their first game, and to see my Raiders on the road favored against anybody is kind of a new thing for me, but they are favored going into Carolina to play the Teddy Bridgewater-led Carolina Panthers. It seems odd to say that. I don't see a lot of good totals anywhere, projections for Teddy Bridgewater this week. So let's just jump right in to Carolina. I mean, listen, Christian McCaffrey clearly going to be the highest, the most expensive player on the bill pretty much every week. But some interesting plays on the receiver side, guys. Do we see DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, or Robbie Anderson in any of our lineups.
Oh, go ahead, TJ.
We got an excited TJ.
I'm nodding yes, man. If you could create the perfect weapon for Teddy Bridgewater and his skill set, you would call it DJ Moore. I think we're going to look back later in the year at this 6,600 price tag. Like, how did we ever get that? I truly believe double-digit targets are going to be a weekly thing. It's going to look a lot like previous Nuke stat lines in Houston. And I'm playing DJ Moore incredibly overweight, and I believe I'm fading the rest of this game, which is probably a hot take. Where you at on that, Matt?
Yeah, I'm fully with you on DJ Moore. I have drafted so much of him in the offseason that I think he might be considering a restraining order at some point in the near future. I love him. I love playing him in his tournament. There's a 0% chance that I would fade Christian McCaffrey in cash. I mean, 10,000 is silly. Like, I would pay and have paid a lot more than that for him. So yeah, I'm just gonna keep rolling with that train for now.
No, over on the Raiders side, I'm actually very interested. Personally, I'm interested in this Raiders offense. In this game, there's been so much turnover in Carolina. You have injuries with some of the guys that are in the defensive backfield that I think that this could be a good game for Derek Carr. And the receiver I'm most interested in is the high draft pick in Henry Ruggs. Ruggs has, to me, that possibility to have that blow-up week one game. It may not be consistent the rest of the season, but it could be that, you know, McLaurin from last year, week one type of game that helped, you know, break a bracket or break the slate rather. So I like that. Josh Jacobs is probably going to be one of the highest owned running backs this week because you can absolutely run over this Panthers run defense. I'm seeing early high ownership projections for him. Matt, do you want to get anybody from the Vegas side of the tier lineup?
I like the Ruggs call. I think if I'm given the choice, like compared to the last game, like just save $100 and don't play Crowder and just get Ruggs' ceiling. Like I don't really I don't know that it's some slam dunk thing, but it's one of those situations kind of like you mentioned with McLaurin or Brown last year, like you want to get on these guys before they become either more popular and or more expensive. And I think this price doesn't really hurt you too much, even if he has sort of a middling game. So I'm with you on Ruggs for sure.
I gotta be the resident contrarian here. If you're saving cash, why not save 900? Play Brian Edwards, who's going to have more targets, catches, and yards than Ruggs this week.
Nice. We might have to put those in our lineups when we go head to head this week.
50-cent wager. Let's do it.
I'm gonna have to look around for some change in the couch, but I think I'm in.
That's all I got. I don't have any paper money, so everything's in DraftKings right now.
That's true. Before we move on from this game, just one interesting thing I'd like to point out. I was reading about Curtis Samuel the other day. Could see him used a lot more in the running game this year as they kept Mike Davis as the primary backup. We know Mike Davis doesn't thrill anybody, but Curtis Samuel did carry the ball a lot in college, and he plays close to the line. We could see a lot of dump offs to him. Curtis Samuel could be a very interesting sneaky play here as well. Just I saw it on Twitter the other day. I hate to not give the person credit who put up the statistics, but I'm old. I don't remember these things. So, Maddie, take it away.
Yeah, before we move on to the rest of the slate, I want to tell you guys about a couple of our sponsors for this show. The first sponsor is DoorDash. You've counted on restaurants, and now they're counting on you. While their dining rooms may be closed, they're still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you the food you're craving right to your door. Ordering is easy. Just open the app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with new contactless delivery drop-off settings. You can get national restaurants like Chipotle or Wendy's, and most of the time your local favorite is also on that list, so you can get whatever you want delivered for the most part. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. when you download the DoorDash app and enter code BLUEWIRE. That's $5 off and no delivery fees for your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code BLUEWIRE. That's BLUEWIRE, one word, for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. Whew, and our second sponsor, DirecTV Sunday Ticket. We're back. It is finally here. We're back with football. With NFL Sunday Ticket.tv, you can stream every live out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon on your favorite devices. You also get Red Zone and you get the DirecTV Fantasy Zone channels, so you never miss any of your favorite teams or your favorite players, which makes for a very, very enjoyable sweat. So no matter where you live, NFL Sunday Ticket.tv is your key to the most glorious Sundays ever. Use the promo code BLUEWIRE at checkout. Get 15% off your subscription. That's NFL Sunday Ticket.tv, promo code BLUEWIRE. All right, let's get back into the rest of these games here.
Yeah, we got eight more to go, and we're going to kick it back in with the Bears at the Lions with a 43.5 point over in this game. Probably going to be a close game. It's probably going to be an ugly game. Two notes on this game. Kenny Golladay was limited with hamstring on Wednesday. It's not believed to be serious, but something you should still pay attention to before finalizing lineups come this weekend. And Montgomery, who was thought originally to be hurt and out weeks, practiced today, limited, and is on pace to play this Sunday. So I don't know that that factors into your lineups. I don't recommend at all playing him. But let's touch on some other players in here. TJ, we'll get to you first on the Lions side. Just a mess in the backfield, so I don't think we're going to discuss starting any of those guys unless you could pull something out of a hat that would surprise me. But I like Marvin Jones. Marvin Jones connects well with Matthew Stafford. 9 touchdowns last year in about 13 games, I believe. And just always very, very touchdown possibilities when it comes to Marvin Jones. How do we feel about him?
Yeah, I love that call. I wrote up Stafford Jones as one of my stacks for the Sharp piece this week over at Sharp Football. You can find that, I believe, on Friday it'll drop. Yeah, I mean, both of these teams were actually like kind of sneaky quicker than I thought they were. Like in one score games last year, they were both, top half in offensive pace in 2019. And, you know, Stafford obviously played 7 or 8 games to start the year and then got hurt. But there's a real connection there. And I think stacking him with Jones makes quite a bit of sense. And like you mentioned that, unless people really want to roll out Adrian Peterson, I don't think that that you should be clicking on any Detroit running backs.
TJ started to choke, and it wasn't because of the cigarette he smoked, and it's because of you said Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, we're not playing Detroit running backs. We're not playing them week 1, week 2, or week 3, and I'm almost certain we're not playing them.
It's a good rule to live by lately.
I mean, typically when you're going to look at the Bears, there's one guy that just stands out there amongst the rest of the town, Robinson, but I mean, Trubisky, it's just, do you trust him to get on the ball? It's, yes. You could pass on his Bears, you could pass on his Lions defense. You can. So are we getting Allen Robinson in some lineups?
I'm mashing an A-Rob, man. And I'm not kidding. This Detroit secondary is absolutely one to attack. You touched on that. There's a good chance they're the worst in football at the end of the season. You look at even Anthony Miller. He had his best game as a pro. I believe it was the first matchup against Detroit last year. I believe A-Rob in the second matchup in the same game dropped something like 110 and a touchdown on 8 catches. So reverse engineering, we also have to consider Trubisky. Yes, it's gross, but you absolutely have to consider Trubisky as well. And I believe he's 5,400. It truly is a great tournament play, and you have two great stackable options there, mix and match. But definitely, A-Rob is your most owned player in this game by a mile.
Matt was very excited when you mentioned Mr. Trubisky. So, Matt, tell him.
I mean, if you can't find a way to jam in Mitchell in week 1 of 2020, I don't know what you're doing, man. Like, I fully agree on the defense part, obviously. just lots of trash cans to go around in the Detroit defensive backfield. And I will definitely have Allen Robinson made Blake Bortles good, like, or not good. I mean, that might be an overstatement, but you get what I'm saying.
Serviceable is a good term. Serviceable.
I might mess around and have him as one of my three max teams. I don't know. Feeling kind of crazy this week.
There's another thing to point out. Like you said, Montgomery's practicing. I really hope he doesn't play this week. I don't want a competent rusher in the backfield. I want them dropping back and throwing.
Yeah.
If we know Montgomery's out, then it's so much easier to play Trubisky. Even it's easier to play Miller as leverage or as a double stack. But in all of my major lineups, A-Rob will be present. Sorry, go ahead, Sam.
No, all good. If Montgomery is out, do we slip Tariq Cohen anywhere as a deep play? And maybe in a flex.
I'm out.
Okay, cool. Very good.
No, yeah, I think that does – Montgomery being out does a lot for Trubisky, like you mentioned, but I don't – I mean, maybe something like Ryan Nall is going to be is going to also see the ball, so who the hell knows what they do with Tariq. Like, I'd rather not. I've been down that road too many times.
All right,
guys. And it's almost a no-lose situation. Because if you play Mitchell and he shits the bed, we're one inch closer to Foles making A-Rob a smash for the rest of the year. Maybe Miller too. And if he doesn't shit the bed, then we make some money. So, yeah, let's get it.
We're coming up roses no matter where we shit, basically. Guys, let's move over to Jacksonville where the Colts led by Philip Rivers come into town. And The most glaring thing in this game is that the Jaguars' run defense is terrible, and the Colts' run game is behind probably the best offensive line in the league. And I spoke briefly last week that I thought Marlon Mack was a great play this week early in the year before JT takes this game. But I see a way where both of these guys should be in lineups this week. And if you're getting really crazy, would you ever consider putting those two guys in the same lineup, Matt?
I think just because of what contests I'm playing and how I'm building, I don't really think I would get there. I think if I was, doing 150 lineups, I would give myself a little bit more leeway to be a little crazy. But I don't know. Maybe TJ, would you ever consider that or no?
No, that's too much of a stretch for me. One or the other, and I mean, I'm going to be underweight on the Indy side of the ball in totality.
Okay, so then let's move over to the Jaguar side of the ball. Is there anybody here? Do you want to get DJ Shark in lineups? I mean, they're going to probably be chasing points all game. So it's actually probably a good game script to get even Minshew in that lineup. Could you see your way, TJ, to a stack of Minshew and DJ Shark?
I don't know about the Minshew side. That's a little more dicey, but absolutely on DJ Chark, man. You look at the matchups last year with Indy, the first matchup, Indy kind of beat on Jacksonville. Chark had an obscene amount of targets. It was nearly 20, if I recall. I believe he got the DK bonus. I believe he scored twice. He didn't do much in the second game because Jacksonville actually won that game. I believe it was the end of the year, and Indy kind of was helpless. But this is a team that's going to be trailing a lot this year, and DJ Chark he's going to be a target monster. I don't respect the receiving talent around him in that room, so I am just kind of full steam ahead and all in on DJ. What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I think he obviously has a ceiling that he's shown, and I think that he's just by virtue of his price, I think that he's going to be under-owned, being sandwiched sort of between, Ridley right below him, Lockett right above him, and a couple of other potentially popular guys. So I think he could go, way too low-owned.
It's been a mess of a running back. We got an undrafted rookie free agent starting at running back. Guys, but do you see a way to find Chris Thompson into your lineup because of the PPR aspect and trailing a lot and the possibility of just an entire fourth quarter of getting a lot of dump off passes?
There's probably not a – well, I can't say all 4K running backs are created equal on the slate. We'll get to that. But there's probably not a better 4K unknown punt than CT on the slate. Where you at on that, Matt?
Yep. Fully agree.
All right, fellas, let's move over to Minnesota where the Packers – you know what I love about the opening week of football? We have some nice rivalry matchups and some really good matchups, and this is one of them. You know, one of the oldest matchups in the history of NFL, Packers and Vikings. It's a 45.5 over-under, so we're expecting medium-range points, but I think we're gonna see both teams go above that. Vikings have a couple of defensive players that are injured, not going to be playing this week, and I could see where the Packers could put up points, but I expect the Vikings to win this game. You could run on this Packer defense. We saw that last year. And one of my favorite plays on the slate, a guy I think is going to be the top scoring running back of this week, is Dalvin Cook. Guys, do you agree with that, or you disagree with Dalvin Cook?
I mean, it's pretty hard to argue, you know, with the workload that he saw when he was healthy. You know, maybe not necessarily, you know, McCaffrey like, but pretty darn close. And you're obviously getting a huge discount compared to McCaffrey this week. Like this pricing, we didn't really talk about it. This pricing is interesting to say the least. Just one supreme jump up at the top of the salary scale and at each position, and then just this huge gap, which I mean, I don't really remember them distributing the prices like this very often, if at all. So yeah, I think that he's fine, and he's another good tournament play because I think McCaffrey and Kamara are going to be higher owned, and he's, you know, sandwiched in between those two. So I like Cook.
Yeah, it's wild, man. If you look at the flex pricing, tiers 1 and 2 are McCaffrey. Tiers 3 and 4 are Michael Thomas. And then basically Dalvin is kicking off tier 5. That is wild, and I don't recall anything like that either. Yeah. I do agree he's in a great spot. I think he's going to he'll have a great game. The build I'm trying to create optimally, I think 8K, the 7,900, is just a little too much for my liking. There are a couple running backs I like equally that are a lot cheaper, and one that is super duper cheaper that are going to be the top three in my running back rotation. We haven't gotten any of them yet. We will. So on Dalvin, there's no Vikings I'm going to play in this game. I'll play some Dalvin in a build, but I'm not putting him in a three max lineup.
Okay, but my next question was going to be a guy who early on in the offseason, a rookie that looked like he was going to be the rookie to have this year at wide receiver would have been Justin Jefferson, but he just has not beat out BC Johnson for that position. Matt, is there any chance that he shows up in week one and because he's a burner, you know, he could break for two big plays that could turn a slate on its ear. It's not something you can bank on. Obviously, it's a long shot thing. But do you have any opinion on Justin Jefferson?
I mean, I don't really have anything too spicy on him. I there's no way I'm going there, just again because of the quantity of lineups that I'm putting together. But yeah, maybe TJ, you could speak to these, you know, not feeling receiver options in Minnesota. Are any of them interesting you, and or is Thielen interesting to you?
Thielen is interesting. I think at 6,700, it's a bit much. There's just way better plays, and I truly may fade all of Minnesota outside of Dalvin in a build. Now, you mentioned Justin Jefferson. I won't even consider playing him in a single lineup, no matter how many I'm playing, if Thielen is healthy. He needs to play in the slot to be effective, and as long as Adam Thielen is breathing, he will not be their best slot receiver. So, I mean, it's as simple as that. I'm just completely out on Jefferson. Yeah.
Thielen's going to be absolutely peppered with targets this year. He's going to be a guy you're going to get tons of use out of. Let's quickly go through the Packers. Davante Adams, we all know what he is, but we have some interesting plays at the number two and number three wide receiver spot. And Matt, do you prefer to have Alan Lazard or Valdez Scantling in any of your lineups? Do you like one over the other, or these are just two guys you're not concerned with?
No, I mean, if you want exposure to Dusty Aaron Rodgers, then more power to you. I would prefer just going with Adams if I'm going to play them, at least until I feel like I have a better, a better grasp of how, like, who's getting targeted and what's happening. Like, I don't feel like I am confident enough to be like, yeah, I need to smash MVS in there or Lazard.
TJ, you have anything to add to that game before we move on to New England?
Adams in cash, Adams in small entry, Adams in 20 max, Adams in MME, Adams across the board, man. That's it. I'm gonna play the shit out of him.
Yeah, when you're dealing with one of the best in the league, it's pretty easy to figure out you got to get him into your
7,300 man. That's soft. I think that's super soft, and that's kind of the middling yet high pricing I want to attack on this league.
All right, so let's move over to New England where the Dolphins come into town. The Cam Newton-led New England Patriots. It's been 20 years since anybody has led that New England Patriots team other than Tom Brady, but I'm interested in what goes on there. Let's start with the Dolphins. I mean, it's kind of a mishmash of players. So you get to the wide receivers, Devontae Parker, Preston Williams. Williams was a guy I would have been looking to play this week, but he's been limited with his knee. He's coming off an ACL surgery, and he himself said he's not 100%. So I think week one, I'm going to be shying away from him, but I think I'll be coming back to that well later in a year. Matt, anything on Parker or Gesicki that excites you for this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there was a definite connection between Fitzpatrick and his games last year with Gesicki. He was the second most targeted pass catcher by Fitzpatrick. So I think that he's fine. I think he's a good way where there's all these like super chalk options. I think that doing that stack and then just eating whatever the hell chalk you feel like eating throughout the rest of your lineup, you can afford a lot with that stack, and you can differentiate yourself even if you're going after some of the more popular plays on the slate, like we've talked about already. So that's where I'm at right now. I think Parker and Williams are going to be, just sort of rotating through. At least that's what they're claiming, and I don't really want any part of that. So yeah.
All right.
Yeah. The most expensive flex option in this game is $6,000. Kind of tells you what you need to know. Gesicki, man, I love the connection. I agree with everything you just said, but I'm just not going to play a Chan Gailey tight end until I see it and see it multiple weeks. I just don't trust it.
Do you think week one is a week to jump on Cam Newton, or you want to see what that New England offense looks like with him at the helm?
No, I really have no interest in anyone but Sony Michel in this game. I think New England just goes back to what they did last year. Obviously, they've taken a downgraded quarterback. They still have big problems throughout their receiving corps. So just give me the guy that's going to pound the rock, and that's going to be Sony. I know they're talking about easing him in. So even if it's only 15 carries, I mean, if it's 15 carries for 40 yards and three scores, we've seen him do that. How many times? It's just insane. You know, he pays that off with touchdowns. Often it's hard to project those games. This one doesn't seem like one of those. Where are you guys at on that?
I'm in on Sony. Sony is a guy who, even in season-long leagues, I was able to get him late in so many places, even recently. And then with Damian Harris going on the IR here, it's just everything looks great for Sony's direction. Obviously, James White will be worked in for his pass-catching role, but I believe you are right. They're going to pound the rock, and I think that it's going to be all Sony Michel. Matt?
Yeah, I'm more of a Samsung guy than a Sony guy, so.
Hey, yo. I'm a Samsung guy too, but I'll be watching Sony Michelle pound the rock on my Samsung this weekend.
PlayStation.
All right, guys, let's jump over to Washington. The Washington football team is going to take on the Eagles. And I've so many different scenarios in my head for this game. I mean, I think the likely scenario is that the Eagles just beat the hell out of them. But I could also see the Eagles fumbling a little bit early on here. So maybe one of you two guys could just settle which direction I should be going in. Is this going to be just an Eagles beating? And should we just be getting Miles Sanders and specifically, I think, the tight ends on the Eagles side in this game into our lineups?
I really need to know what percentage of those 150 lineups TJ is going to have Antonio Gibson. That's what I'm here for. That's why I wanted to make sure I was on the show tonight.
Dude, if I'm reading the tea leaves properly, if I'm anywhere under 100%, I did it wrong. I'm telling you, man, 4K, this is the 4K back we were talking about.
Yep.
And it looks like he's going to get carries. He's definitely going to get targets. And this is my absolute favorite game on the entire slate. I mean that. It has my favorite quarterback in Carson Wentz, number one. With the week one game, God, D-Jax underpriced. No true competition for targets outside of those tight ends. He is going to go scorched earth. And you can double stack with Sanders very reasonably. You know, D-Jax could go 4 for 180 and 2 in the first half. In the second half, Sanders takes over. And even using Sanders with Wentz and D-Jax, you are getting a very viable stack because Sanders is far from helpless as a pass catcher. Regardless of game script, it looks like Gibson is super safe, super floor, super ceiling. The price is perfect. Those are the four players I am all over in this game. How about you guys?
Yep.
Just one note is that with Jalen Reagor returned to practice today, and they say he looks like he may play in week one. I wouldn't let that deter you from what TJ is saying. This is a rookie, a big part of their future. And I'm banking that they don't push him too much in week one. He probably does not end up dressing by the time it's done. But even if he does, listen, even if D-Jax does it this week like he did last year for that 1 week, you'd be foolish, as TJ pointed out, not to have him in some of your lineups for that exact reason. Matt, what do you say?
Yeah, no, I'm fully on board with everything TJ laid out there. So I'm just glad I didn't want to be the Gibson guy, and then you guys, you know, throw spitballs at me and whatever else. So
hey, I'm telling you, Sanders at 6,300 is the third best running back price on the slate too. That's my opinion there.
So the Gibson's the bring back player for you, right? You're stacking in the Eagles. You're bringing it back with Gibson on the other side. And listen, and we're winning some money.
Yes, sir. That's the game. And I mean, if you want to go scorched earth on this game, I mean, McLaurin at 5,600 is attractive too. But I mean, I don't trust Haskins. Then I think the one-on-one matchup is unideal. But
all right, let's head down to Cincinnati, where rookie Joe Burrow will be playing his first game against the Los Angeles Chargers. Listen, let's start on the Chargers side. I don't know. I don't know who I'm getting in to my lineups on this side. Matt, convince me that I need to have somebody from the Chargers outside of maybe Austin Eckler in my lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I think just looking through, I have like a very extremely rough ownership model that I just throw in each week, and it doesn't look like this game is going to be overly popular. There's definitely some plays that will have like medium ownership, but no, there's not like a, you know, above 15 or 20% play to be found here. Eckler probably settles in like around 10%, I would say. Which I think is, I guess that's fine. I don't know. Like, I'm just not excited about this game, like, kind of at all. Like, no matter which way I twist myself around and look at it. I just think there's a ton of better spots. Like if Boyd was cheaper, maybe. But yeah, I don't know. Like, and I'm not a Mixon guy either. So I'm just like kind of out on this.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I get the feeling looking at TJ that he agrees with you, but TJ, before we jump out of this one, is there any redeeming qualities to this game?
I mean, if you want to go super contrarian and chase touchdowns, I mean, maybe Josh Kelly, but he's 4,300. How do you leave a Gibson or a Sony out of a lineup to play Josh Kelly? Just no way.
Yeah,
I mean, Eckler is a super ceiling player, so he could break a slate. If you're making an MME, you can't be without him. I think Tyler Boyd is going to be at the same boat there. And I was going to say, and in most weeks, this specific matchup on a late slate, it would be, you know, skip it on the main, wait for the late slate, play this game on the late slate. Then you look at the other two games on the late slate, and this is the worst one. So, you know, it's just, this game kind of sucks, man.
Yeah, well, speaking of those other games on the late slate, you know, you got the New Orleans Saints welcoming in the Tom Brady-led Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I was talking earlier about great matchups in week one. And to get this matchup right off the top, Breeze and Brady, from an NFL standpoint is great. But I think from a DFS standpoint, there is a ton of stuff that you could pull from this game. So, Matt, let's start on the Bucs side, and then we're going to go away from the running backs. We're not looking at the running backs in this game. Mike Evans showed up today with a hamstring injury. He says it's not serious. He's going to play. The coach said we're going to take it right up to game time. So it's anybody's guess right now where Mike Evans is, but that just opens up the door for the better wide receiver in Godwin. And I don't know. Maybe Scotty Miller finds his way into a lineup. But talk to me about the tight ends and the wide receivers on the Tampa Bay side, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I played whack-a-mole with Evans and Godwin all last year, and I swear to God, I never got it right. Like, I was never on any of the real blow up weeks. So you might be chatting with the wrong guy. I know. I think LaMarca and I would argue every week, and I think that he was right every single time that we got in one of the arguments, because I never got the good Jameis there. I think if Evans plays, he's the type of guy who can do it in, you know, with less targets probably. I like Godwin quite a bit. I have him. He's another one like right after DJ Moore, who might be filing for one of those restraining orders soon. So I will probably have some of Godwin. But yeah, I mean, I just want to play all of the Michael Thomas. So I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time figuring out the rest of my builds with those wide receivers and playing Christian McCaffrey. So I'm kind of at a crossroads here. I'm literally building lineups right now, and I'm like, how can I make this work? So TJ, tell me how I can make it work.
Well, last year I feel like if you just always picked Godwin, you came out on top more times than not. And
well, I'm bad at this. What can I say?
I mean, you're talking to a Mike Evans hater from the word go. I mean, dynasty, all aspects. I've just kind of faded the guy at price, and I've been rewarded for it. You know, you get a couple blow up games, but truly, what's the difference between him and Diggs at this point? If Evans doesn't play, I don't know that it really changes much for Godwin. I think Godwin is the absolute alpha in this offense. He fits Brady's skill set better. But you have to go back to 2008 Randy Moss to find a similar player to Evans having a smash season. And I mean, Randy Moss, Mike Evans is not. So now you combine with the 42, 43-year-old Brady skill set. No. Just give me Godwin. And on the Tampa side, I think he is the only viable play in this game.
Yeah, it's like we said, it's a mess at the running backs right now. The tight ends, you know, they're going to be finding specific plays for Gronk. If you're playing season long and you're expecting Gronk to be your weekly tight end. He's not going to be that guy. He's going to be the designed play guy that they go after once in a while. And you're going to see a lot of Howard and Brate like you have in the past, and that makes it very messy. And especially trying to chase those points in a DFS setting is probably very messy. So, Matt, you touched on Michael Thomas. I'm year after year, I'm an Emmanuel Sanders guy, and I think there is room for Emmanuel Sanders this week in your lineups. You know, what do you feel about that? Are you playing any Breeze? Are you stacking Breeze with Thomas, or are you just playing Thomas alone?
No, I think you can stack them. Like, again, like we saw what Michael Thomas did with, you know, some combination of Teddy Bridgewater and that tight end masquerading as a quarterback last year while Breeze was out. Sanders could easily go off. Like, there, I guess you could probably make a case for anybody with hands that wears a Saints jersey. Like, Tre'Quan Smith could be a flyer. Like, I think it's a little price prohibitive to do Breeze and Thomas if you want to get you know, any of these other studs in there. $6,800 for Breeze, I think is a fair price, but not some. I don't usually build like with the like build my stacks with the most expensive guys on the slate. So yeah, I mean, I just need to find a way to get Thomas into this lineup. That's all that really matters to me right now.
The number on his game is 49. It probably should be around 52, right? It probably should be a little bit higher. But do we expect the shootout? Do you think we get the shootout? I know we don't always get them when we think they're coming, right? TJ, tell me what that big Cheshire Cat smile means.
Well, Tampa's defense early in the season last year, they were putrid. But when digging deeper, they were more a victim of Jameis than they were being awful on their own merits.
For sure.
And while MT, obviously he's a great play whenever you can fit him, I don't want to pay 9K for anyone this week. I just think there's better ways to fill out a lineup, even with 4K Gibson. And I think he's the best play in the game. As far as a secondary play, you mentioned Sanders. I mean, if you're looking at your flex, if you're staring at your flex and you have 5,700 left, I would rather put Cook in at 5,500 than Sanders.
That hurts a little bit, but you're a smart guy, so I'm going to take it. All right, guys, let's go over to the last game that we have on the main slate, and that is the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. Guys, tell me why we shouldn't pay every single dollar that that George Kittle will cost and how he doesn't have 200 yards and 2 touchdowns and against traditionally one of the most awful tight end defenses in the league.
Wait, can I give TJ's answer before TJ gives his answer?
Sure.
All right, the answer that TJ is going to give is that Mark Andrews is $1,200 cheaper.
My work is done here.
Very good. Listen, we're together 1 week, and
look
these
it
guys, they not only do these guys know each other really well, I'm just sitting here taking all their notes so that I can make money. And since I asked Curtis, I need to make more money this year. He goes, Sal, I'll put you with these two guys, take your notes. Fill out your lineups and you're going to be golden.
As soon as you said Kittle, TJ started shaking his head and I was like, I know what he's going to say.
Hey, well, Kittle is a phenomenal play. And if Arizona did nothing to correct, I mean, the all-time worst tight end defense from last year, then we're just going to see the same thing over and over. The difference is we saw those smashes last year and you were getting them from guys like sub-4K. You know, paying $7,200 for Kittle, you're actually relying on it. And that, I think, is kind of the difference in this game. But, I mean, if you're projecting gross points, I won't say I'm going to project Andrews higher, maybe even.
Yeah, I think their ceiling is probably within, like, you know, a point, point and a half anyway. And that 1200 is no joke. Like if it wasn't this weird, you know, pricing, format that they have, and he was 6,600 or 6,800, then it's probably a different conversation, but a $1,200 difference, down to Andrews, I think is worth paying attention to, especially again, because I'm building fewer lineups and I want to get McCaffrey and hopefully Thomas in. Like there's just no way I'm paying $7,200 for anybody else in my lineup.
Listen, that is why you're going to come here to On a Daily DFS every week for exactly those type of things. In a layman guy like myself, I'm going to throw that out there, and these two guys are going to put me in my place, but they're going to explain to you exactly why and where to go for that better value. So, guys, that is the entire 12-game main slate. We're shy one game.
Hold on. There's another team in this game, Sal.
Here's amateur hour by me. TJ came in and saved the day. TJ, you're obviously excited about the Cardinals, so just you take it.
I'm very excited about a Cardinal, and it is the running back that I would take at 105 if other drafters ever made me this season and redraft.
Do you like him that much?
Oh my God, is he just going to scorch the earth? I'm telling you.
You like Eno Benjamin that much?
Of course. Who doesn't? Kenyon Drake, man, we saw what he can do as a runner. We saw when they slowed it down, and he was kind of the focal point of the offense once they acquired him. They realized this guy is who we need. This is our future. Now we're going to see him second year in the system for everyone. Add Nuke, completely different offense. I think they're going to go at the pace they wanted to. That they just could not, that's the word I'm looking for. They couldn't keep consistently and they couldn't do it right. And it was just exposing their defense. So they slowed it down last year. I think we're just going to go back to fast. And I am truly at a point of matchup be damned. Outside of Gibson, Drake is the best running back price and play on this earth. Yeah, outside of Gibson, best running back price and play on the slate.
Matt, what do you got to add about the Cardinals?
No, I like the Drake call. I think I'm just really hoping and praying that we get some more touchdowns and not as many field goals from Cliff this year. That's really my only problem with them last year was the 19-yard field goals that they kept attempting every week.
Well, in fairness, early in the season, their running back was carrying a piano around, so that's how it matters.
He carried it all the way to Houston, and he'll be kicking off NFL tomorrow night. Guys, again, it is here. That was the entire 12-game main slate. Matt, do you have any last parting words about this week's matchups you want to throw out there? Anything you want to leave the listeners with?
I mean, I've spun myself into quite a circle here where now Trubisky's in my cash lineup, so I think I need to go to bed.
All right, Maddie's going to check out. And TJ, what's the final word from you this week?
Let's make some money. Just from a general rule perspective, crazy shit happens week one. Don't overextend yourself. Don't put too much of your bankroll in play. Just make sure you're not being overly dangerous in the 1 week of the year that is generally the least predictive.
I feel like you're looking right at me while saying that.
I wasn't. But you did say it was all in DraftKings earlier, so maybe I should have been.
My Matt, DK bucks.
Matt, this was an hour-long intervention. We're here to help you out. But listen, follow these guys at TJ Calkins, at Matt Jones, TFR, and myself at Salito FF. The show is at On the Daily DFS, part of the radio, the RotoViz radio family. And check that out because he was very excited about that Sunday night Cowboys Rams game. So he's going to have a lot to say that we don't have here on this show. But thanks again, guys. And we'll be seeing you guys 1 week from now.